Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, all you beautiful people. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve easily, crawl into the rabbit hole of BS, as in bait and switch, right? So our goal in life is an invitation to the journey, the pilgrimage, the marathon run of love. Love is not a strawberry shortcake dessert. Love is the meat and potatoes of life. It sustains us to become people of significance, people of importance, if you will. Love really is the most important thing we can do in life. We are, after all, human beings and not just human doings. And to be love exceeds all the doings that we carry on. So I'm here every week with my attempt to unpack the venture, the journey of love, the pilgrimage of love. And I have found that it is an inexhaustible topic. It needs to be an inexhaustible topic. It should be for all of us a study of how we can increase our love quotient in this world and in this life. So every No BS Bishop broadcast, I lead you in Love's Creed, something I wrote about a decade ago, and it's something I first wrote just for myself to keep me focused, to keep me on target for life. So I'll give you Love's Creed in total. You can write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, all lowercase, all one word, and I'd be happy to send you a written copy of Love's Creed. But here it is in total. I'll come back and I'll repeat it for you in short bursts so you can repeat after me like a bride and groom would do at their wedding altar. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is in total. Now let's repeat it as a creed would be repeated in church. I'm convinced that the things we say out loud, that our ears hear, our mouths say, become part of our curriculum, part of our thought processes. In fact, I'm going to talk to you today about dealing with our love deficits in life and how those deficits become a part of our curriculum, but a creed becomes part of our meditation. So again, it's a matter of repeating this so that your ears hear you and your mind captures what you believe. So here we go in short bursts. I'm alive to love. You repeat after me. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I hope you can wrap that into your meditative contemplation and your living this life, this one and only life we have on this earth, to be a people of significant and impactful love, a love that genuinely touches hearts. So today I want to talk to you about dealing with our love deficits. We all have deficits in love, every one of us. I do, from my family of birth, I've had love deficits to deal with as a pastor of a church, if you can imagine that. That, you know, people sometimes think pastors live this idyllic fantasy world where they hardly have anything to do and everything's sweet and pretty. But I got some bad news for you. After 50 years as a pastor, I can tell you rejection is a part of the curriculum of a pastor. Dealing with cranky and crabby people as part of being a pastor. So if you're listening to me and you have a pastor, I would urge you, encourage them. Speak kind words to her or to him. Be forthright in supporting them. Oh, yeah, everybody makes mistakes, and your pastor is prone to make them as well. In fact, pastors make them rather publicly sometimes. So be supportive. Don't be a critic. Don't be a armchair a theologian, always second-guessing their sermons or the comments they make. They need your support. I can tell you as a pastor that my love deficits in life have come from my calling, and that's harmful. That's been something I've had to deal with. My wife and I both have had to manage our souls toward healing and toward forgiveness and moving on in life as it relates to love deficits according to our calling as pastors. But all of us, everyone, you know, in your job, in what your profession is, you've had love deficits. You've had bosses that were simply mean and critical and constantly badgering you for projects to get done rather than congratulating you on a routine basis. We've all had to deal with people who pick apart the things we do or the things we say or the papers we write or the proposals we make. So those are love deficits. And as it relates to mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandparents, those deficits affect us and can be held in our heart to our own detriment if we don't manage them well. So we all live with some form of failure to be loved at some point. And it's critical to understand the multiplied levels of how significant or insignificant it may be. So for every deficit in our life, there's a potential point of reference to now learn to invest love for others out of your own deficit. So for instance, if you've had a love deficit where there's been far too much criticism of your behavior or of your projects, then learn to give out of your deficit for others. Speak encouragement. Talk about how their projects worked well, what they did right. And I believe, as they say, karma. You know, karma, right? That's a sowing and reaping Bible form of it. But karma, they say, is a harsh critic. Karma comes back, just like sowing and reaping. So since karma is an excellent emotional CPA, then learn how to invest love in the places of your own emotional red ink. Hear that carefully. Invest love from the places of your own emotional red ink, and you'll find that as you give it, it'll come back to you in multiplied forms. So let me offer to you just some four different love deficits that may affect us all. As it relates, number one, to family of origin, mother, father, grandparents, siblings, etc. How would you rate the environment of love in your life? How would you assimilate some thoughts about mother, father, siblings in your life, grandparents? And just be honest with yourself. You don't have to go to them. You know, in the 12 steps, it says we sought to make our relationships right where to do so would not cause more harm. So it's not about going to people that might cause more harm and say, hey, you didn't love me the way I needed to be loved. That might just cause more harm. Surely it caused defensiveness. So I'm not suggesting you do that unless, of course, it's just absolutely necessary. As it relates to your family of origin, how do you rate that? How do you put that on a scale? I don't want to give you an arbitrary scale, but just think about it as it relates to your love life. Secondly, as it relates to your significant others, your friends, your neighbors, especially your spouse, somebody that you've lived with for a long time, your acquaintances, how is the environment of love in your life with folks like that? So understand that those are affecting you. that causes you to have an extraordinary love life or a love deficit in your life, recognizing that people have given to you or have been more on the taking side, and it's left you deeply starving. You know, you've been in the red ink of your bank account of love. Number three. Now, this is more about your job and how you work and how you earn a living as it relates to your vocational life, your workplace experiences, the places where monetary projects for your life are part of your living and breathing and being able to sustain paying the bills and putting food on the table. How do you rate your vocational life? Has it been good? Has it been rewarding? And hopefully you've had supervisors and bosses or employers who have been encouraging and loving all through your vocational life. If you have, then congratulations. You're a rare find. But studies show that most Americans are not satisfied in their vocational life as it relates to their emotional well-being. They feel beat up or bullied or worse, and sometimes it's just outright abusive. So as it relates to your vocational life, your work experiences, where you have had to invest your time, has the love come back to you for the work you've given? And again, not just in paychecks, but love for what you do, love for what you produce, love for the projects that you've completed. Do you see that as a deficit, or do you see that as an ongoing increase in your life? It's important to think through that as it relates to your vocational life. Now, here's the fourth one. Now, this is where it gets a little sticky and maybe a more challenging, all right, as it relates to your lifetime community / social life / church / education, relationships, friendships in general. How would you rate the environment of love in these experiences of your life? In these experiences of your life, how do you rate that? How do you view that? How has it been good for you? Ooh, and how has it been bad for you? It's important to be honest. It's important to just look at it and say, you know, I've been a part of this little town forever, and it's caused me nothing but pain. Or you might say, hey, I've been part of this community, this neighborhood, this city for my whole life, and I feel valued, I feel appreciated. And that would be so important to just look at it and maybe give yourself some credit for staying put in a community that is rewarding. As it relates to church, you know, I said earlier about pastors, you know, pastors are often on the receiving end of just undue criticism, and it's perpetual. So if you have a congregation of 100 people, you have 100 potential critics, or you might have 100 potential encouragers. The first part of that is more true. There's more critics than there are encouragers. And relating that, I mean, look at your church experience. Look at your social experience, your educational experience. You know, when we've had good schools where the staff and the administration of a school, the teachers have been careful to manage student relationships. Well, if you've been a part of that, congratulations. But if you've not, if you're in the majority where school was pretty tough, where a lot of kids were bullying you, or there were just some harsh and unreasonable educators involved in your life. And maybe, and I hope this is not the case, but if it is, if there's been outright physical abuse from educators who use their power over a child to extract pain, well, that's certainly a love deficit. And you need to evaluate that. And when it comes to some kind of an abusive relationship with an educator, please, please, please do not hesitate to find a professional counselor to tell somebody your story. If you've been harmed physically and in some ways psychologically as well, talk to a counselor and make sure a counselor has your permission to report whatever might need to be reported. Because if you had an education experience where your love was in a deficit, well, I promise you those educators have been perpetuating that on other children, and somebody somewhere needs to hold them to an account. put their feet to the fire and stop the abuse. So those are the love deficits that we all face. One, as it relates to family of origin, we should rate that, examine that. I'm not saying be overly critical. I'm simply saying contemplate how you've been affected as a human being by your love assets or your love deficits in family. Number two, as it relates to your spouse, significant other, your friends, your neighbors, your acquaintances, how do you rate the environment of love in your life with just the people in your life that have been a routine in and out of your door of your living? How do you rate that? Has it been good? Has it been an asset? Or has it been more of a deficit? Recognizing that that's a deficit can help you understand why it is it's hard for you to assimilate giving love when love hasn't been routinely coming your way from friends and neighbors, spouses, etc. Number three, again, I'm reviewing here, as it relates to your vocation, your work life. Have your supervisors, your bosses, the companies that you've given your heart and soul to, have the people that have paid your paycheck also given you an emotional paycheck? Have they given you reason to keep going, or do they more often than not become a deficit, raking you over the coals for the slightest errors, holding you to an unreasonable standard of production, or being, you know, one of the things that I run into in my own vocational life off and on is people expect things of me, but they've never told me. I learned a long time ago, listen, I can read your mail. I can read and listen to your phone call. I can even understand an appointment where we sit down and talk, but I cannot read your mind. So when you're in a vocation where they expect you to read their mind about what you're supposed to do, that's causing a deficit. And frankly, it's abusive. And fourth, what causes love deficits is as it relates to our community, our social life, our educational life, our church life. How has that experience been overall? I'm not saying in any one time, but on the average, have you had love deficits in your community relationships? So those are matters to look over, give some thought to. How has that affected you? How has that robbed you of the joy of life? Or how has it given you an asset to just keep going day in and day out? Love deficits and love assets are so, so important to manage. I ran across many years ago, I've been on a school board many years ago. I was there for 18 years, and I was part of a study from Search Institute that produced a 40 developmental assets that every young person needs to become a caring, responsible, and productive adult. Now, one of those assets was the discovery that every child growing up, and by association, every adult, obviously, but every human needs at least five influential people in their life to shape a positive personality. Hear that again. Search Institute developed what they call the 40 developmental assets that every kid needs growing up. And intuition, you could see that this is every adult with a little kid living inside. We all have needed five influential people in our life to shape a positive personality. So as it relates to your love deficits and your love assets, ask yourself this: who are the five most important lovers in my life? Who are the five people who have given you reasons to be a productive, positive human being? And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's important to also ask yourself, who's been a thief of my love through life? Who've been those influential people that have caused me to think less of being a good, loving human being? Five people. You know, I think of five people in my life that have brought me and made me who I am. And I'm going to say this, the first person is my wife. This woman is the perfect person for my life. You know, they say some marriages are made in heaven, but they're going to have to be finished on earth. Well, ours is both. It's been made in heaven and made on earth. And we're coming up on a half a century of being married. And I'm telling you, this lady has taught me more about love than I ever learned as a child with my mom and dad and my brother. That's one of the five. Another one of the five is my wife's grandfather, Papa, H. Paul Holdridge, a giant of a minister, a guy who had been in ministry 50 years. And I just intentionally put myself under his influence to mentor me and train me and teach me, show me what love looks like. So those are two of the five in my life. A third one would be, my mother. Now, let me say quickly, my mother was a codependent human being. Now, if you don't know what that means, do some research. I don't have time here to talk about codependency, but it's a sickness. It's a sickness learned when you've had to support other people who are involved with drugs, alcohol, or other deficiencies or dysfunctions. And a codependent becomes this the superhero swooping in to fix all the problems when other people have made a mess. But I have to say, my mother's love, my mother's steadfast love through all of the pains of life, she's one of the influential people in my love assets and yes, my love deficits. So I'm telling you, though, that through her pain, she did love me well. A fourth person in my life that I, fourth and fifth, I'll just say it this way, were my aunt, my mother's sister, and my uncle, my mother's sister's brother, husband. My aunt and uncle, Aunt Lorraine and Uncle Charles, they taught, in fact, I called them Aunt Mama and Uncle Daddy because they taught me so much about love. So I can tell you those five people were influential in developing my heart for love. And I know there are others, but they were the five that just, you know, they flashed in my brain right now. I didn't write these down. This was just spontaneous for me. So you do that. Who are the five most influential people in developing a positive love lifestyle for you? Also, as we talked about earlier in the broadcast, think through your love deficits. Why are they there? And how do they affect you now? And how can you move upward toward love assets as life goes on? Well, I'm running out of time, so I want to make sure that I give myself plenty of time here to lead you into two activities that we do as we close every No BS Bishop broadcast. The first one is learning how to breathe well. Oh, yeah, I know you think you can breathe well, and I do too, but I got to tell you, I catch myself abusing my body by not breathing deeply and rhythmically, slowly, and giving myself space to just be. So when you breathe well, you're going to live well. You're going to slow your heart down a little. You're going to give your blood pressure a break. And I've taught this here over, oh my gosh, all the 4 years we've been here with No BS Bishop. Put your feet flat on the floor. Stand up straight or set up straight wherever you are. And on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Pull that air down to the basement, to the foundation of your lungs. Feel your lung push against your diaphragm and breathe in and then exhale. Nice exhale. Blow out all the deficits with your exhale. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it, hang on, and exhale. Blow out all the deficits. Yeah? Do that every day. You know, give yourself a little miniature sabbatical every day. Breathe in and exhale. Cause your mind to slow down. Cause your thoughts to be at peace. And give your heart and your blood pressure a little break. The second exercise is something I'm infamous for with some folks and loved much by others. And that is look people in the eye, slow yourself down, don't race through these three words. These are the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language, whatever that language may be, French, Spanish, Portuguese, or English. And just say those three holy words. I love you. Make eye contact. Give that person your full attention. And yes, I know it's weird and it's awkward and we're used to just slamming those words down like we just got to hurry up and run away. Well, that's due to our love deficits. We're insecure. We're not sure if we're going to be received or are accepted for being a kind and decent human being by just loving. Listen to me carefully. It is so valuable when somebody gives you their full attention, whether it's romantic love or family love or neighbor love, whatever the level of love it may be, to give you their full attention and look you right in the eye and smile and say, "I love you." It changes a life. It changes the world, one person at a time. It changes the atmosphere of homes and businesses and schools and cultures. The "I love you" mantra is my goal to live by that, with the slow, steady words, "I love you." Thanks for being here today for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. You see, I believe lesser values than love are just BS. Bait and switch. Hans Urs von Balthasar said, "Love alone is credible. It's the final analysis of our life on this earth." So may you rise and shine, love well, live well, and do something beautiful in this tricky, bumpy ride we call life. Do something beautiful. Because, baby,
thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.